So very briefly, we're going to notice the attitude from the three women that came, the two Marys and Salome. They had a great love for Jesus, yet their understanding was incomplete. They would say, "We love Jesus," but they didn't have an expectation of his resurrection. Mark says to us that the two Marys and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. In other words, they loved with all their heart, but they had missed the point of his resurrection. They didn't expect him to defeat death. They didn't expect him to be God the Son who would not be held by the power of death. They were going out of love. And we know that spices could not be bought on the Sabbath. So as the Sabbath day was ended at sunset on that Saturday, they would have gone and bought aromata in the Greek language, which we get a translation of spices. And they were going there to show something of their love and affection. Now, we can learn something very important here. We can have a great sense of affection for Jesus. We can have a great sense of affection and love and a great commitment to the church. But we have to watch, because at Easter time, that truth of that affection, that commitment must be matched by the truth of his resurrection. It must be matched by the fact that he is not dead. He rose again on the third day. So very briefly, we see that this love is commendable, but it must be matched with an understanding of Jesus. Now, secondly, they show commitment in the face of danger. But you might be thinking, well, what was dangerous about it? Well, this is early in the morning. The day had just broken, but there was still a build-up of natural light. So it was a still and a quiet place they were going to. It was a tomb. It was a grave site, a cemetery, as it were. Now, I don't know about you, but I hesitate to go in the brightest of the moments of the day into cemeteries and places like that. And you might feel that's a bit strange for a pastor, but we all have our little fears and things, don't we? Well, the women were extremely brave right at the very beginning of the day, where people were still sleeping, where people were still in their homes. They go to the still and quiet place, and they have to overcome some of their own fears. They were brave. So even with an incomplete understanding of Jesus, they're showing an element of faith because of their commitment to Jesus. They're going to face criticism. It's interesting that the first people to receive the news and the message of the resurrection of Jesus are women. And here we find these women coming to the tomb where, for every outward appearance, they weren't going to find life. They had to overcome their fears. They were going to attend to the body of an executed, supposed criminal. They had to overcome the fear of being criticized. Some people say, well, they were going to embalm Jesus' body, but that's not a practice in the Jewish world of that time. And even when it was practiced, it was done by physicians and not by the women. So the predominant thought for us here in this first introduction to these women is to understand that they had a deep affection for Jesus, but they had an incomplete comprehension of his purpose. However, Easter Sunday was going to be a life-changing moment and experience for them. And maybe that is to be the case for you today. An appreciation, an affection even for Jesus, but an incomplete comprehension of what he was all about. And yet maybe today God will work in your heart and show you a bigger picture. At the same time, before we talk about getting everything all right in theology and doctrine, maybe we run the risk of missing the love expressed by these three ladies. It's not all about correct doctrine. It's not all about issues of order. Jesus said, "You will know my disciples in how they love each other." So these women love Jesus and they come to show that love. So to their question, who will roll away the stone? Well, who will roll it for us? There's a little bit that we can grasp from this because we get the sense that they're a bit despondent and their fears are real. Now, sometimes our fears cause despondency. Sometimes our fears seem insurmountable, that we can't get over them. They seem so great when we contemplate them. So they're walking, and you can picture them in your mind's eye. They're walking towards the tomb. Their heads are downcast. They're looking down. Their fear here is who's going to give us access to Jesus? Who can grant us access to Jesus? They feared the impossible nature of moving the obstacle of death as it was put there, a stone over the tomb. How would that large disc-shaped stone be moved? You know, it was easy to close the stone over a tomb because there was a gradient and there was like a track that the disc-shaped stone could be rolled down and it would close firmly because that was a place not to be opened up again. So closing the tomb was relatively easy. Opening the tomb by rolling it up a gradient was certainly a completely different challenge. And these women were saying, who will roll it for us? They knew that humanly speaking, they could not have access to Jesus. So we note that their fears make them downcast. I come from Scotland and I studied in Edinburgh. And in Edinburgh, there is what's called the Royal Mile. There's Holyrood Palace. It's the residence of the Queen when she visits Edinburgh. She stays there at one end and up the cobbled street, 1 mile exactly to Edinburgh Castle. There's a great church there, St. Giles Cathedral. It was John Knox's church. And he preached there and he led the Reformation in Scotland, just as Luther would have led it in Germany and Calvin in Switzerland and so on. And there are mentions of John Knox in history, of course, and some are negative and some are positive. But one thing that we notice when we would visit Edinburgh is to see two statues. One is of David Hume, a great Scottish philosopher, but not a Christian, an atheist, nihilist philosopher, really. And when his statue is observed, you see his face downcast. He's looking to the ground. There's despondency written all over him. There's no positivity. There's no sense of optimism. There's no sense of hope. He's in despair. And all he can do is look to the ground. When you go less than a few hundred yards away from David Hume's statue, you see a statue of John Knox, and in his hand is a Bible, and he's looking upwards to heaven. When we come to Easter Sunday without God, you're right to be in despair. When we come to Easter Sunday without hope, without life in Jesus, You're right to have no hope. You're right to be downcast. You're right to think there's nothing more than a simple chemical existence of life. And these women, they come and they don't expect anything different. But the surprise for them is that the tombstone is removed. And Mark says, verse 4, when they looked up, and this is the key, when you look up to God, when you look up to Jesus, you are lifted from despondency. Death is defeated and hope is put in its place. Looking up, you know, as you and I view life and death and faith, it's good to have a commendable affection for God and to come to church at Easter and Christmas and I hope other times as well. You know, we do have services every Sunday. And like I mentioned, without sounding corny and typical church language, we do celebrate a risen Savior every day. Now, it could be that you'd like to have access to the reality of Jesus today. It's like you've come to the tomb. And maybe you have a great fear in your heart. You'd like to meet the truth. Who will make it possible? Who will grant me access to Jesus? Who will help me to meet the truth? And it's like your fear is that tombstone that needs to be rolled away. And it's blocking your way and you're coming despondent and you don't know if you could dare to hope. Because these women didn't even dream to believe that Jesus might be alive. But God made it different. And that brings me to the second point there. The focus here is not actually the women. It's not the tombstone. It's not even the tomb. The focus is the power of God Himself to overcome our greatest of enemy, death. And that's a deeper understanding of this passage. And isn't this the case for you when you come to the Bible? We are so looking for what's in it for me. How can I gain from this? What is it for me? I want to feel something. I want to experience something. I'm suggesting to you today, the way for you to gain something from this passage, to feel something, is to look to Jesus, to God. This is the focus of the resurrection. It's not the three women that came. It's not the empty tomb. It's not the tombstone removed. It is God in Jesus. They needed to learn the truth. What was it that they found? Well, they found that Jesus was not to be found in the place of death. We have a cross here. It's empty. It's empty for a reason. The work of Jesus on the cross is complete. He said it Himself. It is finished. He was taken off the cross. We look to the cross. It is empty. His dead body was placed in the tomb. And these two pointers preach a sermon in themselves. An empty cross, an empty tomb. And they tell us that the sinner seeking Jesus will find that the cross, far from being a failure, far from being a tragedy, is actually a message of forgiveness. That God forgives. And the empty tomb shows us that death has been defeated and emptied of its hold. And this is the paradox of this passage. The innocent death of Jesus for guilty sinners such as we are, and the resurrection of Christ from the dead on the third day. What does that say? It says, death is dead. The power of God opens access to the tomb. The power of God opens access to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit of God today opens our eyes and grants us access to this living Savior. And we need not fear death anymore. Do you remember Jesus telling the story about the great banquet? And how it was all prepared and that people were to be invited to come and go into the highways and the byways. Invite people. The key verse in that passage in Luke is when he says, "Come, for everything is now ready." That's what this message in Mark 16 is saying. Come, for everything is now ready. The forgiveness of our sins and through the death of Jesus on the cross and the defeat of death through the resurrection of Jesus on the third day. You take one or both of these facts away and you have no Christian faith. Because this is what our Christian faith is all about. Our third point is life and light. Verse 5. What does verse 5 say? As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. So it informs us that not only do they find the tombstone is removed, but they actually step into the tomb. And it's not a dead body they find. It's a messenger of God that they find. Do you think that has a point for you today? Looking at Easter Sunday, at an empty tomb in the Christian faith, it's not a dead body that you find, it's the messenger of God, of good news. The impact of the language is sort of lost on us in English and probably in our other translations from Greek. But one of the things that comes across here is it's not just that they were the young man was dressed in a white robe. That sounds so passive. It's actually a radiance that is ascribed to divine radiance. It's a heavenly glow of whiteness. It's dazzling. It's God's influence. It is supernatural radiance. And this glorious white robe envelops the young man. It's not just that he's dressed in it. It's enveloping him. It's a radiant glow. And this is very interesting, because where you might expect death, there's actually dazzling life. And where humanly you might succumb to deathly darkness, there is godly light. And this is the message of Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus, where humanly speaking, there is death and darkness. With Jesus risen, there is dazzling light and life. And now I think I understand how these women were really afraid. You know, it was alarming enough for them to go first thing in the morning to the grave site, to the tomb. But here, this is not what they expect to find. This is certainly not. It goes against the normal scheme of things. What do we see? What do we see when we see a grave? We see an obituary in the El Comercio. That's what we associate. Death with an obituary. We expect flowers and fading letters on aging gravestones. But Easter is different. Easter is God's power to confound our hopeless and fatalistic human struggle against death. Easter is God's power to say to David Hume, "Man, it's time to look up." And this is what the young man says to these women. Verse 6, "Don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. They were both alarmed and astonished. The message of God to you today is God saying, death is not the end. Jesus has confronted the enemy. He has defeated the enemy. It is the cause of pain. It is the cause of great grief and sorrow, and we have to accept these things emotionally as human beings. This is a fact of life, that death happens. But Jesus has overcome it. He says, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. He is alive. Jesus is no longer dead. The cords of death couldn't hold him. But the young man is saying, but Jesus really tasted death. He really tasted. He was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. So he points the women to see the physical location where the body of Jesus was laid. He really tasted death. It was a real death. It wasn't a pretend death. It wasn't that he was still conscious when he came off the cross. He really died. Only God could bring this about. And maybe you're saying, oh, that's humanly impossible. Of course it's humanly impossible. Of course. Only God could bring this about. And that is the focus. And lastly, he says in verse 7, go and tell. And this is what we're doing today. So I'm here telling. You're here with this invitation to go and tell. Easter Sunday is not unique, but it's extremely special. There is a supernatural side to this. We're dealing with God. What would we expect? Why would we not expect supernatural when you deal with God? Yes, it's a message that skeptics deride. But I'm telling you, I would rather face death with the hope of heaven than with the emptiness of David Hume. However, this morning, you get a chance to hear. So who does the young man tell the women to tell first? He says, go tell his disciples and Peter. The disciples had misunderstood. None of them expected Jesus to be alive, and they misunderstood the cross. And now they must see the truth. So we can understand the disciples. But what about Peter? Why go tell the disciples and Peter? Well, yes, even Peter. I don't know this man. I have nothing to do with him. I never had anything to do with him. Three times, Peter denied Jesus. Peter, the big, strong fisherman, the rock on whom Jesus would build, along with the other disciples, the church. The big, strong fisherman, now a broken disciple. And he hears. And this is for you, Peter. You've denied Jesus. But the message is, go and tell the disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you, and there you will see him, just as he told you. Yes, even Peter. Yes, even you. You may have let Jesus down. We all do. You may have even denied him. No one's condemning that today. the message of Easter Sunday is start to look up again. Look up again to Jesus. Come to Jesus today. Rob death of fear. Fill your soul with hope, the hope of God. And remember what Jesus would go on and say, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus has gone ahead. We will see him just as he told us, because he is alive. Let's pray.